Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on February 22nd, 2009. It is now about 2 minutes after 8. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Email us anytime at comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you are listening to a rebroadcast, you may also phone in your comments to area code 918-919-0101. I'm having trouble with words this evening. Folks, I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. And that two is a numeric two, so it's mytwocentsonline.com. His weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You could also listen to Andy's commentary on contraryinvestorscafe.com. Folks, things are heating up. Do not think for a moment that things are getting better, the government is at the rescue, everything will be fine if we just wait it out and rely on the bureaucrats in Washington to do their job. Things are getting worse, and please understand what is truly happening. This is historic, unprecedented. We have never, ever had a situation like this, and it's because of our incredible debt structure from the individual all the way to the banking industry and the financial industry, will we see some very, very hard times ahead. Unfortunately, I hate to be the doom and gloom guy, but it doesn't look pretty. Oh, lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good evening, everyone. That's my formal introduction for this evening. I'm here at the studio with my lovely wife, Erin. She may just be listening in, or she can chime in whenever she pleases. It's her show as well as mine. The first thing I'd like to do is go through a few emails. I must be about 12 emails behind in at least responding to them over the air. I respond to each one online, but there's several that I wanted to read on the air. This one, so one of our listeners, Joe, sent this to us. Now, this is quite lengthy. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but what it is, it's a tax poem, and I'm just going to go through a couple of little sonnets and sections, rather, and to give you the flavor of it. He says, at first I thought that this was funny, then I realized how awfully true it was. Be sure to read all the way to the end, which I can't do. It really is too long, and it's excellent, though. He says, taxes land, taxes bed, tax the table at which he's fed, taxes tractor, taxes mule, teach him taxes are the rule, taxes work, taxes pay, he works for peanuts anyway, taxes cow, taxes goat, taxes pants, taxes coat, taxes ties, taxes shirt, taxes work, taxes dirt. And it goes on. And it's absolutely correct. There is no reason why the government must tax everything. That is communistic. It's bad. It's wrong. I mean, there's no right for the government to tax everything that we own. The government has no right to what we own. We are sovereign. We are sovereign individuals. And the government works for us. And yet, we are being taught that anything we own, the government owns part of it. And that's wrong. And that, well, I read the poem. It was excellent, that I was angry afterwards. Thank you very much. Now, this one is cute. I really have to read this one because I thought it was so cute. This is from my friend Tom at Chile. He sends me a lot of emails. Send me some of the best ones, by the way. And he says, it's tough to argue with this one. It's a picture of an Indian chief. And it says, Indian chief, Two Eagles, was asked by a white government official, you have observed the white man for 90 years. You've seen his wars and his technological advances. You've seen his progress and the damage he's done. The chief nodded in agreement. The official asked, considering all these events, in your opinion, where did the white man go wrong? Well, the chief stared at the government official for over a minute and then calmly replied, when white man find land, Indians running in it. No taxes, no debt. Plenty buffalo, plenty beaver, clean water. Woman did all work. Medicine man free. Medicine man was free, basically. Indian man spent all day hunting and fishing, all night having sex. Then chief leaned back and smiled. Only white man dumb enough to think he could improve on that system. And I thought that was just charming. I thought that was great. Goo sent me one, Tim from Goo. That's Get Out of Our House. We had him on as a guest. Excellent program. G-O-O-G-O-O-O-H, Get Out of Our House. And it says, Goo seeks to hold our elected officials accountable. And, geez, you know what happened on this email? It got chopped in half, so I cannot read the whole thing. But I do recommend that you go to their website. I guess it's goo.com. Or .org. Let me just check for a second, and I cannot find it. Just Google G-O-O-O-H, and they have an excellent website. And actually, when they're saying get out of our house, they mean, you know, this is our house, and we have bureaucrats who are running all over it who don't belong there. Agree. Here's another one from Tom. This is an old email. He says, according to my calculation, each job costs $225,428.57. That's assumed that 3.5 million jobs will be created, and that by my calculations are correct. Maybe it would have made more sense to just load helicopters with cash and dump it out on the people. You know, Tom, I agree. I agree. I would be there with my wife, and I would be there with one of these big sheets, and we'd be catching all this money. Then we have enough money, we'd come down and visit with you in Chile. And this is from Tony. Just listen to the show. And again, this is an old one. This is the 14th. Just listen to the show. And you read my email on the air. That was so cool. I felt famous for a moment. LOL. And you cursed in Italian. Actually, I didn't curse. I don't know curse words in Italian. They were just Italian words that I threw in there. That was the best part of the show. I'm at home yelling, yes, yes. Keep up the good work. Love the author of 40 Years an Investor also. Thank you very much. I'm sure he's glad to hear that. And I'm following his suggestions very closely. Here's another one. This is from Chuck from Alaska, and it says, Sacred Bull, Basic English, and Math Test for American Politicians. This is very long, but I'll just give you a flavor. This is absolutely terrific. It says, Section 1, Competency in English. The phrase, Congress shall make no law, means Congress shall make no law. Congress shall make some laws. Americans can do anything they want except things my colleagues and I, or our largest contributors, personally dislike. Congress can pass anything and do anything it damn well pleases, even stacking the courts with our toadies. What is the correct interpretation of the phrase, the right of the people shall not be infringed? The right of the people shall not be infringed is A. B, the right of the people shall be infringed only gradually, moderately, and for the good of the children and battered women, except those with, except the ones that we batter. The C is, the right of the people is actually a state's right, and the states are a bunch of wusses who will put up with anything as long as we offer them enough tax-funded loot in return for selling out their citizens. Or D, people are sitting on their butts watching TV, so we can infringe any damn thing we like feel like infringing, we'll get the media and the FBI and the IRS and all the other alphabet supers to screw you good if you object. And it goes on and on. And it's absolutely right. What part of no don't you understand? That's my son saying, Dad, what part of no don't you understand? They love that. Okay, here's another one again from Tom. It says, yep, seems like Obama is selecting from the same old pool used in the past, and I'm afraid that this will result, his results will be the same. And Washington, while the rest of the nation languishes in deep recession, one elite sector of the economy is feeling no pain. The Washington lobbyist. Touche! All right, here's another one. This is from Bryce, and he says, you're the best in the business, Joe. Keep up the good work. I could not agree with you more, Bryce. Thank you very much. let's see. This is another one from Tony. All right. And I thoroughly enjoyed your show. I'm glad to hear non-Plutonic Western philosophical opinions. Your free drinks tomorrow, well, that's one of our broadcasts a couple weeks ago, analogy is right on target. And as an American of Sicilian descent, I believe these political tendencies to be inherently part of our family cultures. So I'm particularly proud of your show. Thank you so much, Tony. Okay, let's see. Oh, we have one from Matt here. Oh, geez, I really am behind. President Barack Obama has signed an executive order allowing hundreds of thousands of Palestinians to resettle in the United States. Sure, what can go wrong when we allow hundreds of thousands of people who have been and are, and as Mark Stein memorably described, marinated in a sick death cult, who voted for Hamas, and 55% of whom support suicide bombings, live here at the American taxpayers' expense. You know, that's unfortunately true. You know, the problem is that we should not be allowing just bringing Palestinians in here. We should stop supporting Israel so they can live in peace over there. Touche, touche, touche. Okay? And here's one. This is the last one. I hope this is the last one. I got two more. All right. I voted Democrat because I love the fact that I can now marry whomever I want. I've decided to marry my horse. I voted Democrat because I believe oil company profits of 4% of the gallon, 4% on a gallon of gas are obscene. But the government taxing the same gallon of gas at 15 isn't. I voted Democrat because I believe the government will do a better job of spending the money I earn than I would. And it goes on and on and on. Very, very good. And that was from Chuck. Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate that very much. Wall Street Journal. Joe, soon Oklahoma will be part of Mexico. If we legalize all drugs, then the problem will go away. The solution is so simple, but there are so many U.S. officials that make money from drugs that you cannot make them legal. I agree. All right. Wow, that took a lot of time. This is only going to be a short broadcast, folks. Please call in 646-652-4620. I have a couple of... What? Did you have something on? No? All right. I have a couple of talking points here. Just a couple of things that I heard on TV. You know, we keep on hearing the politicians talk about money that's going to the auto industry and other industries and the financial industry, and that these corporate CEOs shouldn't be riding around in corporate jets. You know, they should be riding around in something else. You know, and I agree. I can't disagree with that. But look at the dishonesty of the whole thing, folks. You have the clowns that are saying this are the same people, you know, who are flying all over the world, you know, with their wives or their scribes and their assistants and all the people they have with them. Some they don't take their wives, you know, and they travel all over the world at taxpayers' expense. You know, for what reason, I don't know. You know, they should be here in the United States. We should not be overseas. But there they are getting educated, spending tens and tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars on each trip that they go. And the government is bankrupt. Now, who are they to tell CEOs of companies that are going bankrupt, you know, how to run things when they are bilking the very institution that is already bankrupt? That really grabs me, you know, really grabs me. And here's another talking point. Today I heard someone say that, and let's have it read my own handwriting. This is what we don't talk about. We hear that... that today we have dismantled the safety net of people, and that people are hurting, thus government, should be more involved than ever. In other words, these times are different, and America has disassembled, dismantled the safety net. And then they make this argument and say, well, this is why we're doing all of this, and this is why we have to, you know, go into debt even more to save these people, because we dismantled the safety net. Well, first of all, America was not built on the safety net. America was built on individual initiative, individual innovation and productivity, and with that comes risk. Comes your own risk, and sometimes we pass and sometimes we fail. And when we fail, we got to pick ourselves up and do it again and do it better. There was never a safety risk, a safety net, you know. Well, what do we intend to do when we say that? Do we intend to build a country, develop a country where no one can take any risk, and if you take any risk, don't worry, someone's going to bail you out? That makes absolutely no sense. We should protest words such as that. You know, we've never intended to have that, and I just don't understand words like that when I hear them on TV. I just go bananas. I had another talking point here, which I lost. Oh, no, let's get to inflation. If I hear one more time a misinterpretation of inflation, I think I'm going to lose it altogether, and you're going to hear me speaking partial Italian, partial like that, and part English, and no one will understand me, but it won't make any difference, because I'll be so damn mad it won't make any difference. Why do we talk about inflation as an increase in prices of goods or services? Why do we do that? When the price of gasoline goes up, we say, oh, that's inflation. When the price of gas goes down, we go, oh, it's deflation. Has nothing to do with it. You know, we have a rise and an increase and a decrease in prices, not because of, there could be a flood, it could, let's say, crops, it could be a drought, it could be a natural, doesn't have to be a natural disaster, it could be an increase of supply and demand. It could be for a number of reasons why prices, there could be a change in buying habits. There could be things go out of style. There could be innovations that come out and make other things obsolete. Thus, the price of that product goes down. The prices of things don't indicate whether or not we have inflation. I mean, it may indicate that we have inflation, but it's not the reason for inflation. The only reason why you could ever, ever, ever have inflation is when you inflate the money supply. Now, people don't seem to understand that. Now, let me make this very simple. Let's say there's only two people in the world. No, three people. Let's say there's two buyers in the world. Right? And they both get $100 a month. Well, let's make it one person. Let's say there's only one person in the world, okay? And this person gets $100 a month. And he buys from two people. $50 he spends at one place. $50 he spends at the second place. He does it every month. He makes the $100, spends $50 at A and $50 at B. Breaks even, right? Now, A decides, aha, you know, this guy's got more than 50 bucks. I'm going to raise the price. You know, or for whatever reason, he's going to raise the price, right? So then the guy goes to the place. He goes, yeah, I want to buy my thing at A. And the guy says, good, it's 60 bucks. He goes, I only pay 50 bucks. He says, 60 bucks. So if the guy needs, he says, okay, here's 60 bucks. He goes home. He goes back to the other guy. He goes to B. And he goes to B. He says, all right, I'm going to buy my thing again this month. And the guy says, well, 50 bucks. The guy says, I'm sorry, I only have 40. Now what happens? Think of the transaction. The guy says, well, we have a problem because I only have $40. I can either do one of two things. I can buy it for $40, or I can walk and do without. Now, the seller has a choice. He can say, all right, I'll sell it this time to you for $40, but this may be the last time, because if I keep on doing it $40, I'll go out of business. Right? So he buys it for $40. The same $100 is being circulated. Now, let's assume the guy says, I'm not selling it at $40. Well, he doesn't sell it at $40. This guy goes home. He has $40 in his pocket, right? This guy still has the product on the shelf, right? There's no inflation. Prices are still the same. You can't have inflation when the monetary supply remains the same. Now, if someone gives this guy an extra $10, then he'll go out and he'll spend it and pay $50, right? And then he says, ah, geez, I got, you know, I got $110, but now he spends $60 and $50. Now, the guy that's got $50 says, hey, this guy raised his price. I'm going to raise my price. You see what happens? But then the government prints more money, gives him another $10. Now he has $120. So now he pays $120, pays $60 and $60. And you have a rise in prices. Then they say, oh, the reason for inflation is a rise in prices. No, it's not the rise in prices. It's because you printed more money. Now, let's take the same example. A person goes to A, and the guy says, I don't want 50, I want 60 bucks. The guy says, well, let me think. I have $50 reserved to spend at B. I only have $50 at A. Guy says, hey, you don't want it for 60 bucks? Walk. Guy walks. Then what happens to the guy who wants 60 bucks? He had a choice. He could have sold it for $50 or, right? Or, you know, the guy walks, and the guy walked. Now, what happened this Christmas? Not Christmas, you know, the holiday season. You saw a sign saying 70% off. Now, that's not because the government didn't spend more money, didn't print more money, but it didn't get to the people. It went to the banking industry to cover all their shenanigans, the trillions and trillions of dollars. So the money was, in fact, inflated. But the people who were spending the money didn't have the money or didn't trust that they may have the money tomorrow. So they took some money and they put money away for a rainy day for the first time in 20 years, right? And then when they went to go shop, if something wasn't 70% off, they didn't buy it. And that's exactly what happened. So you have to understand that when these people on TV are talking about inflation and unions and wages and all this, that has nothing to do with inflation. That has to do with a change in prices because there is more money available. All any government has to do to solve the inflation problem is to stop printing excess money. If they normally would need X number of dollars a day, that's all they should print, and stop there. But you say, well, then why don't they just do it? It just seems so easy, Joe. You've got to be a clown. I mean, these guys know that. Well, the thing is, the government doesn't want our money inflated because the government is so hellaciously in debt. They want to inflate the money to a point where their debts become cheap. Let's take a hyperinflation. If we went through hyperinflation and a loaf of bread cost $200, you know, instead of $20, $2 cost $200, right? What happened to the debt that was $2,000? Well, now with the hyperinflated money, $2,000 is like $200. So we just keep on inflating ourselves so we can keep on paying our debt. Now, the only people that suffer by this are the citizens. The people like you and me are the only ones suffering. Because what we have to do is we have to keep up with this inflated price of everything. So we have to make more money just to stay even. The dollar since World War II is now only worth a few cents of what it was worth back in 1945. Now that should tell you something. Now, project that out. Where do you think we're going? There are many predictions that our dollar will actually crash. The Global European Anticipation Bulletin, which my friend subscribes to, and we both chipped in, by the way, because it's very expensive. But what they're saying is that by June of 2009, what they project is that after a tax holiday, I mean, after a holiday or a weekend, we will wake up in the morning and on the news, they'll tell us that the dollar has been devalued. Because if we don't devalue, the U.S. will default on its debts. Now, they expect that to happen before June of 2009, this year. Could you imagine if that actually occurred? Just think for a moment. What if you woke up and the $1,000 that you thought that you had in the bank is now only worth $100? Now, the government would also do something like, but all the debts would be adjusted accordingly. Like if you owed $100,000 on your house and the dollar was devalued 90%, you'd owe $1 million on your house. Million old dollars, 100,000 new dollars. I mean, just think of the tragedy this would cause on the American public. Now, what would happen, it would make things overseas hellaciously expensive, which would then make things in the United States, eventually, it take time for us to gear up our manufacturing, things would get manufactured here instead of going to the Far East or any place else in the world, because it actually would be cheaper to produce here. I mean, just think of that. Folks, you have to protect yourself. It is important that you protect yourself, that you don't have everything that you own in dollar-denominated assets. Because if you do, and there is such a thing as some sort of realignment of our currency, the dollar that we've always thought was good as gold would be like some of the other guys say, it's toilet paper. They just print as much as they want. Just think how good the dollar is when all of a sudden the government that's bankrupt now, broke now, can issue an additional $1 trillion. Barack Obama is issuing an additional 700 and something billion dollars. Plus interest, it'll be $1 trillion. Our debt this year will be $1.2 trillion. I mean, just think of that. Think of the effects that that will have on our economy. You know, we did a show a week ago saying that taxation without representation. We have that again. People who are born, who will be born here in America, will be born slaves because they'll be so indebted, they'll have to work to pay off all these debts. I think we need to re-examine the way we are going to run this country. Will it be run by Washington, or will it be run by individuals, by the citizens, as it should be? We don't, as individuals, create inflation. We can only produce. We can only innovate. We can only improve. We don't need Washington. You never hear Washington talk about those things, about productivity and initiative and innovation. They always talk about how handicapped we are and how government, how people need government because they're unable to do for themselves. You know, necessity is the mother of invention. And I can guarantee you, when people in a spot, and I don't care who you are and at what level you are monetarily, you will find a way and you will become productive. Well, that's our program for this evening. This coming Thursday will be our next live broadcast, and next Sunday we're going to have an author. We'll talk about a very, very interesting book called Jesus Swept. It's very fascinating. I'm reading it now, and we'll report on it next week, and we'll have the author on. And this Thursday we'll have our regular broadcast at 6:30 a.m. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Grant Jacobs Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands, but with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. Your ride is now controlled, and with it, there's no more fun. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, don't steal. The government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.